speaker is Aurélien Doitron from INSA Lyon. The floor is yours.
The introduction, so I'm going to talk about acoustic emission and acoustic emission particularly resulting from transverse crack in composite laminates. Okay, so the experimental setup under study is cross-plying laminate. Is it working? Oh, okay. So it's cross-plying laminate loaded under tension. So it's laminates made of epoxy resin and carbon fiber with approximately 60% fiber volume fraction. And the setup is instrumented with two pairs of sensors, of acoustic emission sensors that are placed at the surface of the specimen. When we load the composites under tension, at some point there may be a crack in the composites, and this crack dissipates energy. And a part of this energy is dissipated as a wave that propagates within the material up to a point where it can be captured by the piezoelectric sensor that is placed at the surface of the composite. Okay, so this gives us a signal in the form of a tension as a function of time in time domain that can be also traduced in the frequency domain. And from this time domain and frequency domain signals, we can extract descriptors such as like amplitude of the signal or peak frequency, for instance. So as you know, there are many different damage mechanisms in composite laminates, such as damage mechanisms at the micro scale or at the meso scale. And the very big challenge in acoustic emission is to try to be able to establish a link between these individual damage mechanisms, for instance, the debonding, and the acoustic emission signal that is captured using the capture. So in the following, we are going to focus mainly on one damage mechanism, that is transverse crack. Okay. So having a look at the literature, as I said, the big challenge for acoustic emission is to try to establish classification approaches of the damage mechanism. So based on the acoustic emission signal that you collect, we would like to be able to say these signals correspond to one individual damage mechanism. But this is clearly not trivial, as shown by, for instance, work in the literature. So this paper by Becker and Morsher, who studied the acoustic emission signal induced by transverse crack in 0,90 plies, and they highlighted that depending on the position of the transverse crack, the acoustic emission signal didn't have the same frequency content. So for instance, for cracks located at the outer plies, there was a rather low frequency content, whereas this frequency content was higher for transverse crack located in inner plies. So the idea was to try to rationalize these results based on numerical simulation. Okay? And when talking about numerical simulation of acoustic emission, there are three big steps to take into account. And the first step consists in modeling the media and the acoustic emission source. So in our case, we are going to model the 0,90 plies, for instance, and the transverse crack that occurs at some point in the material. Then the second step is to model the acoustic wave propagation in the material induced by the acoustic emission source. And finally, very important point is also to take into account the acoustic emission equipment, and particularly the influence of the sensor and the acquisition chain. Okay, so the objective of this work is to try to rationalize, to identify what is the acoustic emission signatures of a transverse crack in different configurations. So basically, we are going to study these four configurations. So from top to bottom, we have the influence of ply thickness for two configurations when we have a crack. A crack in an inner ply, and on the right, when we are a transverse crack that occurs at the ply surface. And from left to right, we study the influence of the stacking sequence. Okay, so back to the three main acoustic emission simulation step. To model the media and the source, we place our simulation at the mesoscopic scale. So we consider that we have plies that are homogeneous, anisotropic, And we model transverse crack initiation based on the coupled criterion. I will just tell one word afterwards about this technique. So basically, it gives us the strain at which transverse crack occurs in the laminate. So then we make a first loading step, which is a static step, until this strain level at which the crack will initiate. Okay, and afterward, we are going to initiate the crack by unbuttoning nodes all along the crack surface, and then do a second step using implicit dynamic calculation to model the wave propagation in the material. All right? And then we take into account the sensor, so we have several approaches. Today I will only talk about the first one, which is a basic one, but it's to consider a perfect point sensor. So at some point in the calculation, we place a sensor at the surface of the material, and we are going to collect the out-of-plane velocity as a function of time, which will give us the acoustic emission signal. Okay, so now back to the influence of the ply thickness. So I'm lucky because yesterday this example was presented several times. So just to say that when we look at the strain at first transverse crack as a function of the ply thickness, if we consider, for instance, an energy criterion to predict this transverse strain, it works well for thin plies, but works not well for thicker plies. So in beginning of years 2000, Le Guyon proposed to combine this energy criterion together with a stress criterion, and based on the energy criterion for thin plies and the stress criterion for thick plies, you are able, by combining both criterion, to well describe the strain at first transverse crack initiation for the whole ply thicknesses. Okay, so if we have a look at what happened experimentally, we retrieve this. So we see that for thinner plies, the first acoustic event that we record occurs for strain levels that are larger than for thicker plies. Okay? So now, what about the ply thickness influence in the simulation? So as I said, first we are going to consider a perfect point sensor that is located at the epicenter of the transverse crack. And so we collect the out-of-plane velocity at this point as a function of time. So this gives us an acoustic emission signal, and we can compare different configurations. So on the left graph for inner cracks, on the right graph for outer cracks, and on both graphs you have two curves for the two different thickness. So one with one ply per 0.90 and one with three plies for 0.90. And first thing that we can see is that for inner crack, qualitatively, we already see that the thickness of the plies has a major influence on the recorded acoustic emission signals. Okay? And this influence is less marked qualitatively for outer cracks. And then what we can conclude first is that the bigger the ply thickness, the higher the amplitude of the signals, okay, because we are going to generate a bigger crack, which is quite trivial. So then, having a look at the frequency content of the signal, so how do we obtain that? Basically, here we are going to put sensor from the epicenter of the crack to a point at a given distance of this epicenter, and then we are going to collect signals all along this distance, and we can perform 2D Fourier transform of the collected signal, which gives us the number of waves as a function of the frequency. And this highlights which modes are excited in the material. So clearly what we can see is that for outer cracks, first, the main mode that is excited is an antisymmetric mode, which is this mode here, which is a low frequency mode. And basically here we see that the influence of the thickness, so between these two Ks, is not much important because the main mode that is excited is this antisymmetric mode. However, there is a slight difference, which is that for the thicker plies, you see that there is also a higher frequency mode, which actually is the symmetric mode, which is excited and which is not for the thinner plies. Okay? Now, we see that depending on outer transverse crack or inner transverse crack, we have really different frequency content. For inner transverse crack, we see that the antisymmetric mode is not excited. It's the symmetric mode, which is a higher frequency mode, that is excited. And in this case, we see that the influence of the thickness, so in this case compared to this case, is much more marked than in the case of surface crack. Because in both cases, it's a symmetric mode that is excited, but not at the same frequency content. Okay. Now let's have a look at the influence of the position of the sensor compared to the position of the transverse crack. So what we do is that basically we consider several sensors placed at several distance of the crack epicenter, and for each sensor we collect the acoustic emission signal. And we transform this signal, we characterize these signals calculating descriptors. So in the following, I will show two descriptors, one in type domain, which is the amplitude, and the other one in frequency domain, which is frequency central. So first, let's start with the amplitude. So here you have the amplitude variation as a function of the distance between the transverse crack epicenter and the sensor. So first thing trivial that we can conclude is that when you increase the distance between the source and the sensor, the amplitude of the signal decreases, which is basically due to damping of the signal. Okay? So now we can compare the influence of the ply thickness and the stacking sequence. So first, beginning with the influence of the stacking sequence. So here we can compare the two upper curves, which correspond to outer cracks, and the two lower curves, which correspond to inner cracks. And clearly, it shows that the amplitude for outer cracks is higher than the amplitude for inner cracks. And if we have a look at the influence of ply thickness now, so now we can compare the two upper curves together and the two lower curves together, we see that thickness matters and that we have also amplitude difference, whatever the distance between the transverse crack and the sensor, both for outer cracks and inner cracks. Okay? Same analysis, but now with frequency centroid. So first, we see also that the frequency decreases with propagation distance, which is also due to damping. Then, regarding the influence of the stacking sequence, we see that, okay, two upper curves, two lower curves, there is a difference in the frequency content, as we showed just before, between inner and outer cracks. And interestingly, if we have a look at the ply thickness, so now let's compare the two bottom curves, so we see that for outer cracks, the frequency centroid variation with the distance between the sensor and the transverse crack, we have exactly the same frequency content, whatever the ply thickness. And this is also the case for inner crack, but only if the sensor is placed far enough from the transverse crack. And if it's close to it, now we can exhibit some difference in the frequency content. Okay, so I come to the conclusion now. The three in the middle, it's basically what I just told before, but I will give you two take-home message from this analysis. The first one is that for transverse cracking, we cannot make one univocal link between the damage mechanism and the acoustic emission signal collected. And the second take-home message is that I recommend you, if you want to go to classification approach, to consider inner transverse cracking and outer transverse cracking as two different damage mechanisms given the influence or either ply thickness, either location of the crack within the composites. And thank you for your attention. We'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you very much. So we have time for one or two questions.
Thank you for the presentation. So based on your numerical work, what kind of sensor is relevant if you want to characterize, if you want to detect transverse crack? Because now we have indication on the frequency. So what are your recommendations for the type and the distance of sensor?
Yeah, so basically here all the results I show are without taking the influence of the sensor. Okay, so in the numerical simulation, I only consider a perfect point sensor. And if you want to account for the influence of the sensor, it is possible, but you have to take into account this kind, okay. You have to take into account it through the sensor frequency sensitivity curve, okay? So basically, it's a convolution product in the frequency space of the signal and of these curves. So all the differences I show here, they are basically the vibration that you would get under the sensor at the material surface, okay? But then when you transform them with the sensor sensitivity function, results may be different. So maybe the difference, some difference that we show here could disappear because the sensor is sensitive in one or the other range of frequency. So I won't give you a name of sensor, but basically the idea would be then from the result I get, you transform them with the taking into account the effect of the sensor, and then you can see if it reduces or not the difference that you observe.
Thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. One is, I think in the simulation, a critical point is how do you create the wave, no? And that depends on how do you release the node.
Sure.
And I would like you, if possible, to explain a little bit more how do you manage to do this and how that depends on time. And the other question is about the damping. For instance, the fact that the frequency centroid depends on the distance of the sensor, I understand this is because you have different dampings from the different frequencies. Because the wave will not change the frequency during the travel, no? And how have you characterized the damping in terms of the frequency?
Yeah, okay. Thanks. So I will answer first the second question. So basically, what we do here to model the damping is we use Rayleigh parameter. So you have two parameters, one that damps low frequency, one that damps high frequency. And this is purely phenomenological. Okay, it's not due to some viscoelastic behavior of the material, for instance, which can be an alternative to do that. And so we identified these two parameters by like a pencil lead brick at different distance from the sensor and by calculating the damping depending on the distance. And then we fit the parameter to get the good damping in this, model test. Okay. For the first question, this is a crucial point. So as I said, in the acoustic emission modeling, you have these three steps, and the first one, how you model the source, is really important. So here, I only have a small example of like amplitude and frequency centroid variation as a function of the distance that we can obtain using different way to model the crack initiation. So one is using cohesive zone model, so basically the crack is just progressing from one side, from the surface to the center, okay? There is a second one which is doing a similar progressive unbuttoning of the knot, but like by imposing it in the calculation, not with a cohesive zone model. And the third one is to assume that the crack lips separate simultaneously through the wall thickness. And basically, you see that, so it's the blue one, and you see that if you do this assumption, instead of having a progressive debonding, debonding of the two crack surface, then it really matters on the acoustic signal that you make. So you have to have a detailed model for your crack initiation process.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. So.